General George Washington, in a 1780 letter, has a quote that's tied to, you've heard of the seven P's. Proper prior planning prevents pretty poor performance. In his letter, he said, "There is nothing so likely to produce peace as to be well prepared to meet an enemy." We as Christians, indeed the whole world, but we have insider knowledge. We should properly prepare to meet the King. The theme today is the Bethlehem candle. We've talked about the prophecy of His coming and what Gordon shared, very appropriate. The one coming to prepare the way, John the Baptist, which was our gospel reading. The mood is joyful expectation. The characteristic is peace and preparation. And that banner is the second one over there, prepare. The Advent readings, then, there's a theme to these, which is why I like the tradition of the Revised Common Lectionary. But the Psalm 72 talked about righteousness, justice, peace, something that all of us in this world and in our country long for, that ultimate justice, peace, and righteousness. Isaiah 11, talking about the coming kingdom, the righteousness and justice and peace ultimately or more fully brought in with the arrival of the Messiah. In Romans chapter 15, talked about joy, peace, hope, in believing, so we can experience that in our lives to some degree now, in believing in the Messiah that we know has come and is coming again. And so then in Matthew 3, which is going to just give a brief exposition of that, if you want to turn to Matthew 3 and follow along, that would be helpful. But it introduces us more after the Luke, the birth of John, to John the Baptist. And this is a very famous picture by an Italian artist, Mattia Preti, in 1665. But this is John the Baptist preaching, and as in the vein of an Old Testament prophet, and as he is sharing and just being very direct and confrontational. In fact, you know the story. Later on, he lost his head over that because he upset the wrong politicians ruling in Israel of the day. But first, so John the Baptist in verse 1, "In those days John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judah." This is in fulfillment, folks, of Malachi, the last book in our English Old Testament, in the Old Testament in English, Malachi chapter 4 and 5, fulfilling the prophecy, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." And so God's prophecy saying that there's coming one who will prepare the way for the one who will ultimately bring peace to the earth. And in verse 2, he's saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." At hand, imminent. That's a word that is loaded with meaning, but could come on God's timetable any time. Imminent coming, at hand. In one sense, with Christ's first coming, the first advent, Christmas time, is what, big term here, inaugurated eschatology. In other words, we are in some sense in those last days waiting for Messiah, King Jesus, to come again. So there's an already aspect to the kingdom of God. As Christians, we experience that as fully as we can now, looking for that more full coming, the kingdom, and on into eternity in the future. The two Advents, that's why last week was watching for the King. This week is preparing for the King, because Jesus is coming again. And verse 3, what is he preaching, John the Baptist? "For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah," so once again, prophecy, "saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 3. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And then down in verse 6, many people were coming to him out in the Jordan River and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. We don't need a Savior unless we are sinners. And confession of sin, and that word carries with it the idea in the original language of saying the same thing as God does about our sin. We live in a culture, especially in this country, that defines sin and black is white and white is black. God defines sin. And we are sinners before a holy God, which is why we need a Savior. And so confessing, saying the same thing about who we are and what we need, a Savior to come and deliver us, like what Ben sang, one of my favorite songs, like I said, O come, Emmanuel, God with us, and ransom captive Israel. Israel, in bondage to sin, needs to be ransomed, bought out of. As individuals, as God's people today, we have been bought out of the bondage of sin by the finished work of Jesus. And verse 8 then, therefore, with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, therefore now bear fruits worthy of repentance. That word, that also then in the original language, has the idea of changing ultimately our mind first, repenting, changing our mind about who Jesus is ultimately and who we are as sinful people, and changing then our mind, our direction, our will, and going the other direction, we might say, a change in lifestyle, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And then you got to love John the Baptist. You know, imagine his camel, fleas, all that. Preaching, not you brood of vipers. You know, that'll win friends and influence people. Not pedigree, just because you're the children of Abraham to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were the aristocrats. That it's not who you are that somehow, well, we're the chosen people and so we're in no matter what. No. We live in a world that believes that because you're the right kind of people, you're in. The right causes, the right the virtue signal, all the things that go on in our culture, that's the right side of history, you hear. I tremble for folks like that in the world, but what about in the church? I mean, some of you aren't yet, and we may not let you in, members of this elite church family. So don't even try. But just because you're a member here, obviously, that has no bearing. You know, and sometimes when people want to join, I sometimes will play angel's advocate. You know, I want to join the church. No, you know, why do you want to join? Because I've had folks, well, I want my name on the register so I can go to heaven. Obviously, that is incorrect. And that is, so it's not our pedigree. But then also, the idea of penance, do repentance. That's not, penance is not being penitent. There have been a lot of, some of us, our background, being penitent, where if we just whip ourselves more and show our sorrow, that was, the Pharisees would build that hedge around the law and all their traditions, and you must keep this to show how serious you are. And that is not what repenting is when it comes to sin. What does the world do? What is viewed as the one of the many paths to God? What do we do in the church when we show, you know, well, I love Jesus more because I'm wearing more ribbons on my, you know, that I care more? Then in verse 11, John the Baptist talks about baptism. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. That He who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so John, a pre-church, technically, baptism of repentance, and in John chapter 1, talks about, I'm baptizing to reveal the Messiah, that Jesus comes to him, the beginning of his public ministry, and Jesus is the ultimate spirit baptism, fire. Fire, think of refining, purifying, or burning up in judgment. When Christ came to save sinners in a dark and pining world, as the song says, that's good news because it's the answer to our problem. But it's also bad news for those who don't believe. And so the advent of the King, the first time. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. There's also an antitype which now saves us. A picture of baptism. But this is just a picture, baptism. Not the removal of filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so the water is picturing the ultimate rebirth that occurs through the Holy Spirit and the fire of purifying and being made, our standing made holy in God's sight. And then verse 12, because there's a judgment coming. Prepare for the King, salvation, judgment. Who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Preaching to the religious elites and ruling elites under the Roman occupation, but the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin were allowed to have some self-governance under Rome. Flee from the wrath to come. Why are you coming out to be baptized or to look into what I'm doing? Folks, we live in a world that will hedge their bets. I don't believe this stuff, but you know what? I'm going to go to church on Christmas and give a little money or whatever it is, just in case this silliness is true. Sometimes we do that in the church too, don't we? Where I don't really believe that Jesus did it all, but I'm going to hedge my bets. And Jesus talks about, like a winnowing fork, the wheat and the chaff, God knows. And that's the seriousness of that second coming of Jesus. Another quote, Teddy Roosevelt at the 1902 United States Naval Academy graduation. I don't know who West Point got that year. Probably nobody. But he said, it cannot be too often repeated that in the modern war, and especially in modern naval war, go Navy, the chief factor in achieving triumph is what has been done in the way of thorough preparation and training before the beginning of the war. So preparing for a war, preparing for a king who will conquer ultimately sin and evil in the world. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight. In fact, by the way, that's the way early on those verses were used, that the Christian church, Christian was a making fun of the church. Oh, you little Christians. Initially, they were known as the way, people of the way. Prepare the way, make straight. That's where that comes from. Our role, that is our role, folks. We are looking for the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. The life, and that is our message that we should be proclaiming, especially this time of year with family. This is the Advent season. Folks are a little more sensitive to or open to the birth of baby Jesus, as long as that doesn't go away Santa Claus, mind you. But the idea of a Savior, and why do we have Christmas in the first place? Like we do, Isaiah 11:10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, referring to Jesus, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles, the nations, not just Israel, shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. And like the end of Psalm 72, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. We should properly prepare to meet the King, and the way has been provided in Yeshua, Jesus. And this is what we then proclaim and picture Apostles' Creed and Communion. Visitors, if you're Christians, this is a Christian remembrance, but you're all are welcome. We will serve you. But in this church, one of the things the Apostles' Creed, an Orthodox statement of faith. So if you would please all stand, and we will recite the Apostles' Creed, and then we will have communion together.